Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text this morning for this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is the Holy Gospel lesson. And today, dearly beloved, you will hear about Jesus, his cross, and you. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, just last week, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered correctly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Even so, it may have seemed to the disciples that Jesus the Christ had got off to a rather humble start. He walked from town to town. He would sleep wherever he could. And he was not surrounded by a royal entourage. Nevertheless, he is the long-awaited Messiah. Now life will get better for them, right? After all, he will now begin to grow in popularity and status, and the people will begin to adore him. It's only a matter of time now that he will go to Jerusalem and take possession of his royal throne, and he will destroy all the enemies of Israel, the Romans, the pagan nations, and all others who oppose Israel. Soon, he will be ruling and judging right from Jerusalem, right? But we now come to our text this morning. Jesus says, and Matthew writes for us, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Say what? Jesus is going to Jerusalem? He's going to suffer and be killed? No way! That can't be possibly true. Jesus, the Messiah, he's going to suffer and be put to death? No, that can't be. He must conquer Israel's enemies. They are the ones who must die. Jesus must go to Jerusalem to take possession of his throne. How could the Son of God, how could our Messiah allow himself to be suffering and dying in his capital city? It doesn't fit. Dear friends, it doesn't fit the preconceived notions about Jesus. The preconceived notions that Peter had, and the disciples had, and many people in Israel had, that the coming Messiah would be their political, their secular Messiah. Therefore, Peter, as their spokesman, Peter the brash one, the one who usually speaks without thinking, he takes Jesus aside, and he's going to set Jesus right. "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Now, we can't possibly know what Peter was thinking, but it's clear from what Peter said that he only heard two words, suffering and die or killed. The part about Jesus rising on the third day, well, that goes completely over his head. You see, Peter is shocked. Jesus, the Messiah, he's going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to suffer and be killed? That doesn't fit. That doesn't make sense to Peter. It blows to smithereens his preconceived notion of who Jesus is. Even today, my dear friends, even today, many fail to see the damning power of sin. They are blind to the true necessity of the cross. The world, and even many Christians, they see Jesus by way of their preconceived notions. They reject the bloody theology of the gospel. They reject that Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who has come to shed his precious blood so that you could live, they reject the idea that he must atone for the sins of the world upon a bloody cross. They reject an atonement that is substitutionary. And since they can reject Jesus hanging on the cross, then doesn't it make sense that they could reject Jesus' resurrection on the third day? Just like Peter, they'd rather have a king without his messianic priesthood. They'd rather have a king that they have a preconceived notion of. And one of their preconceived notions is that Jesus can't possibly be the Messiah. That he's not the good high priest. He's not your high priest. And by the way, what's the job of a priest? To sacrifice. But Jesus doesn't sacrifice bulls or lambs or goats. Jesus sacrifices himself. For he is the very Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. He is the one who hung here to take away your sin and my sin. And he is the one who on the third day rose from the dead. And in his death, he has defeated death, all death, for you. This, dear ones, is the golden kernel of the apostolic truth, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is who he says that he is. Did you notice from our text this morning that Jesus does not address Peter's motives? Rather, Jesus turns to him. Jesus looks Peter in the eyes and he says to him, "You get behind me, Satan. A trap are you to me, for your thoughts are not the thoughts of God, but of the things of men." Talk about being shocked. Peter looking into the eyes of his Messiah, and Jesus point blank calls him Satan. You see, Jesus convicts. Jesus convicts Peter because he's acting against his Father in heaven and his plan of salvation. Why does Jesus do this? Well, it's no different than today. Jesus convicts all the preconceived notions that many people have about Jesus. You've heard of many of them. There's even a book that's been written about him today, and I encourage you to get that book and read it. It'll smash the preconceived notions of who Jesus really is. You know, there are people out there who think that Jesus is just the mascot. He's the option among many. Jesus is the good teacher. He's the therapist. He's the giver of bling. Jesus is the national patriot. He's the social justice warrior, the moral example. He's the new Moses. He's the mystical friend. He's the feminized. And lastly, and this is a good one, he's the cuddly teddy bear. You see, Peter and people today, they have the Lord's life all planned out for him. And they want to take out the suffering and death part because that doesn't fit their notion of what a Messiah truly is. Peter wants Jesus to be whom Peter wants Jesus to be. Nothing more, nothing less. Same today. You see, Jesus tells us, he told them from the very beginning that he was going to come to be a servant, that he would be a suffering servant. It was even prophesied in the book of Isaiah. But the problem is that the priests, they were not teaching the people. The people did not know what the scripture said. And so when Jesus came, they had this preconceived notion of which they had been taught that Jesus would vanquish all their enemies and he would rule and reign right there in Jerusalem. That he would assume his throne and he would be the man. Well, Jesus is the man, but his throne is not a golden throne. It was a bloody, wooden cross. But no matter what Peter wants Jesus to be, dear ones, Jesus is Jesus. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. He is your Christ. And he is God who came in the flesh and died on a bloody cross. He is the God-man who spilled his holy and precious blood. It is he who died a horrific death for Peter and for each and every one of you. So then, Jesus confronts Peter with the truth. And whenever the truth is met by evil, the truth will always win. So then Jesus now turns to his disciples and also to Peter. And he begins to speak to you today also. And he tells us what it means to be a Christian. What it truly means to be a Christian. If anyone would come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? To Peter and the other 11, and to his disciples today, your Lord is saying, you must follow me. And to follow me, you must deny yourself. You must humble yourself, pick up your cross, that cross of suffering, and follow me. If you think that following Jesus is all about glory and power and living the cushy life here on earth, you've got another thing coming. You're thinking of the things of man, not of the things of God. If you listen to Satan, if you listen to the world, if you listen to your own sinful flesh, then you will abandon him along the way, just as the crowds and the elders and the chief priest, and as did the scribes, who did not like his teachings. They didn't like hearing about what Jesus was going to do. They didn't like Jesus telling them that they were hypocrites. They didn't like the fact that Jesus reached out to the poor, to the hungry, to the prostitute, to the lowly of life. They didn't like the fact that Jesus wasn't giving them all the glory. Rather, he was giving glory to his Father who is in heaven. And so, dear one, if you decide to follow the world and not pick up your cross, and therefore there may be an easy life here on earth, there's no doubt about it. You won't be persecuted. People won't make fun of you for being a Christian, and they'll kind of dismiss you and leave you alone. But then there is always a consequence. If you do not pick up your cross, if you do not deny yourself, and you do not follow Jesus, you will actually lose eternal life. For what can you give? What can you pay for heaven? If you lose your soul, what do you have to give in exchange? The answer is nothing. Not one thing. Deny yourself. Humble yourself before a holy and just God, and he will have mercy upon you and forgive you of your sins as you confess those sins and as you repent of those sins. Bear your cross of suffering. And in bearing your cross of suffering, follow Jesus, and then you will live forever. dear ones, his true disciples never ever forget the reason why Jesus went to the cross. You know that there is nothing. There is nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul, since Jesus has already exchanged his holy and precious blood for your soul. By the grace of God, you know your sin, and you honestly confess your sin. You know that God is faithful and just. And when you confess your sin, you know and you trust, you believe in faith that he will forgive your sin, because you believe that he did his great work here upon his throne in Jerusalem. He is not a religious, he is not a secular king, but he is a spiritual king, a king who came to serve and to die for his people. And so he does this very day. He reminds you that he is faithful. He reminds you that he is present and that he is here to feed you, to nourish you with word, with body, with blood. To the world, this sounds so ludicrous, but to us, his children, as we humble ourselves and deny ourselves, and we come here and follow Jesus, he feeds us. His very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, for the strengthening of your faith into life and salvation. This is God's way. It's not man's way. And when we follow God's way, we are listening to what God says, and we are thinking as God thinks. We are thinking eternally. And when we think eternally, we live in the kingdom. So therefore, dear ones, as you come to the altar today, humble yourself, deny yourself, and believe that your Savior is present, that he is here in body and blood to nourish you with the thought, with a blessed assurance that all your sin is forgiven, that in the forgiveness of your sins, he will give unto you his kingdom, the kingdom where you will live forever with next to your Savior, there with him. Never again will you have to worry. Never again will you have pain or mourning or sorrow or tears. For in his kingdom, it is the kingdom of joy and the kingdom of life. Thanks be to Jesus. Jesus, his cross, and you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.